Hello. Good afternoon. And welcome to the fourth installment of the me talking.
Anyway, an idea that I have been thinking about for the past few days, and I really just need to get it off my mind because it's really just, it's taking up a lot of space. I can't stop thinking about it, and I want everyone else to also not be able to stop thinking about it. So I'm going to get right into it. Can you adopt an adult? Like a full-grown adult. And I already know the answer to this because my friend Jake decided to look it up and tell me the answer, which was sad because I didn't want to know. You know, I just wanted to ask the question and never know what the answer was. But ask yourself, if I wanted to go to court and say, I want to adopt this fully grown man and have him be my son, could you do that? Or maybe if I saw a homeless person and said to myself, I want to rescue them from homelessness, so I'm going to adopt them to solve that problem. They can move in with me. They seem pretty cool. I trust them. It turns out that the answer is actually yes. In the state of Texas, apparently you can adopt an adult if they agree to it. I was a little sad when I found out. Not because you can. I guess I'm kind of excited that you can, because that just opens up a lot of opportunities for new adventures. But, you know, it was like finding out was not fun. But then what I proposed to my friends after we learned the truth is, could you marry someone that you adopted? As if, in the sense that, say I go to adopt a woman of the same age as me, and she agrees. Now I'm legally her father. If I wanted to marry this person, is that offer automatically off the table because of the adoption thing? Am I not allowed to get married to this person just because I'm legally their father? I don't know. Actually, I think I do know, because Jake also looked up the answer to that one, but I wasn't really paying attention when he said it. I think the answer is no, but I'd like to think that if you posed that question to a judge or whoever makes the rules they would have to stop and think about that. I'm not saying I would want to marry my legal child, because that sounds weird, but I would like to have the option to, because they're not biologically related to me in any way. And it's sad that, you know, say I adopted her first, and then later on I realized,
oh man, I feel like I want to marry her. I can't, because, well, I guess she's my daughter.
So, I guess when it comes down to it, what you want to do is you want to have clear pros and cons for each. This is for those of you who would like to adopt someone and would also like to marry someone in your life. So, you need to decide who you're going to adopt and who you're going to get married to, because the way it looks is that you can't have both. Maybe it depends on where you are. Maybe the law is a little bit different in places like Alabama. Not saying anything about Alabama, just saying, for instance, the state law could be different for no particular reason, or
maybe for particular reasons.
I'm not going to say. But what I am saying is it's important to know where your priorities lie with my child or with my spouse. Because unfortunately, you can't have them be the same person. And child, I guess, is the wrong word to use, because that kind of implies that the child is a child, but it's not. Let me think of a better word to use. Not child, but maybe legal. Care receiver, or I don't know. I don't know what the right word would be. You are the legal guardian now, because you adopted them. And yeah, they're, anyway, glad I got that out there. That was a relief. I've been trying to make sure I remembered that for this. After we talked about that, we proceeded to discuss the idea of, say, I became like famous or something, and I adopted Ryan Reynolds, for example. They said that if I came back from 5 years of them not seeing me or knowing my whereabouts and said that I was the legal father of Ryan Reynolds, they wouldn't believe me. And I just feel kind of bad, because that if someone I hadn't seen in 5 years came to me and told me that they adopted Ryan Reynolds, I would believe them. I think 100%. I would be like, wow, I didn't even know you could do that. But that's not true, because I did know you could do that. only if Ryan Reynolds consented to it. Which is the hardest part. You know, I think maybe there's a chance that I could convince Ryan Reynolds to let me adopt him. I think the chance of that happening is at least really small, but I think it's there. But that's the discussion I had with my friends. It was a really, diplomatic and reasonably civil discussion. Many times the discussions I've had with my friends have been violently argumentative, because sometimes they just don't want to admit they're wrong. And I know that if they hear that, they're going to get really mad that I said that, because that's definitely an argument reigniter. But I admitted I was wrong, and they didn't. Anyway, not going to get into that. Maybe some other time. Someone remind me to talk about some of the debates I've gotten into with my friends. Anyway, I just finished reading a book I started last semester by the name of Pet Sematary by Stephen King. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say the book was a 10. I really liked the book. Stephen King, I think, is probably my favorite writer. And I recently saw the newest Pet Sematary movie. And I'm aware that, you know, movies don't always have to be just like the book. And which this movie was not. But it was a bad movie. I did not like it at all, really. It didn't make sense. It took the scariness of the book and kind of made it completely different, if you know what I mean. The book was really scary in the sense that it made me uncomfortable, and it made me kind of feel not all right to sleep after I read it, just because it was so descriptive in the gross ways that people died or lived. And it did a really good job of describing how, and I mean, okay, spoilers. Just gonna let you know, if you have never read the book or seen the movie, if you haven't, it's kind of your fault. It's been over 30 years since it came out. Anyway, the way that Stephen King describes the pain and the, like, hysteria that the main character Lewis goes through in response to his infant son's death via getting obliterated by an 18-wheeler is just it's surreal. And it kind of opens up my mind of like the way that feelings work, kind of, because Stephen King is really good at being accurate, in my opinion, and kind of hitting all of these things that help me understand what the main character's feeling, and it kind of helps me understand the way that I might feel at times. But the movie was so fast. It was like a DC movie. And it was just so quick. The dialogue wasn't very good. And it really changed the whole concept of what the book was about. It really changed what the book was saying was the force that was bringing people back to life after being buried in that burying ground. And it kind of just like in the movie, the new one, the daughter comes back to life. It was the daughter instead of the son. The daughter comes back to life and she becomes evil and aggressive, which is kind of similar to how it happens in the book, but it was really just her self, her same mind, her same thoughts just brought back to life, because she said things like, "Daddy, am I dead?" And he was like, "No, you're not dead," you know, lying. But that isn't really how it worked in the book. In the book, when Gage, his son, comes back to life, it's really not himself. It's the same body that just kind of gets healed a little bit. In the sense that, you know, open wounds are now scars and stuff like that. But he's still dead. His flesh, his organs, everything are still dead. He's just alive again and moving. But the force that is having Gage be alive is really... it's some kind of evil thing. It's not actually Gage. It's just some all-knowing kind of evil force that takes over his body. And it remembers things that happened a long time ago, because there was an incident that happened in the 40s in the book where a man brought his son back to life. His son was a soldier who died. And his son, like, he didn't do anything bad, at least that we know of. But he was really profane and somehow knew things that nobody else knew about people. And he, when encountered by the neighbor Judd and Judd's friends in the 40s, he kind of verbally attacked them with knowledge he had of things they do, or like maybe things that their wife does, stuff like that. And that really freaked them out, which, you know, would freak out anyone. But in the, you know, in the movie, it was really just them back to life doing what they would do, but just if they were now evil. But yeah, I mean, also the house or something in, I think it was the house in the new movie was like haunted, but not really. Like the wife, Rachel, was like being haunted by kind of the ghost or memory of her older sister that died of some really awful spine infection that made her get deformed and stuff. I don't know why that happened. The house wasn't haunted. It could have just been, you know, you could pass it off as like, oh, it was the evil force. It was the Wendigo. But that's not it, Chief. Anyway, I just needed to talk about that because the movie was really bad. The book was really good. I recommend that it is read by the listeners of this thing. That's the third, maybe fourth Stephen King book I read. I read It. I read The Shining. I read Pet Sematary. All three of them were great. I read Thinner, most of Thinner, but I didn't pay attention to any of it, so I don't really count it as having been read. The next one I'm going to read is going to be Salem's Lot. I know that probably not a lot of people here are Stephen King fans. I'm a Stephen King fan. But yeah, those are my thoughts on the book versus movie. There's a lot of other things, but I don't remember anything at the moment. Book review out of the way. I'm going to tell a tiny story of this really small but hilarious thing that happened to my friends and I last year. We were in this cafeteria, and this cafeteria, one of the things that they had were hot dogs, and we had just finished eating, so we were walking to the place to put the, you know, our plates and stuff, and we got there, we put our stuff away, we turn around so that we could leave the cafeteria and go back to, you know, where we live. And as we turn around, there's this girl walking with a hot dog on her plate. And she's holding it with one hand. And there's like a lot of people that are passing by. And she holds it at an angle that's too acute, I guess. And the weenie of the hot dog, which is covered in ketchup, slips right out of the bun off of the plate and just splats right onto the ground. And she, like, my friends and I all saw this happen. I don't think she knew that we saw it happen. I think she knew that someone had to see it happen, because there was a ton of people around. But she looked down at it, and then she just walked off. She just went to wherever she was sitting and I guess, carried on with what she was doing. I mean, I thought it was crazy that she just looked at it and then walked away. But then I realized, if you straight up drop your hot dog on the floor in front of everyone, what do you do? You know, like, you can't just pick it up and eat it. I guess you could pick it up and throw it away, but, like, if you don't know where the trash cans are, you're just holding this ketchup-drowned weenie. I feel like she did the best thing you could do in that situation, is just walk away. But my friends and I could not stand to hold in our laughter, because you could even hear the way that the hot dog just, like, it just hit the ground. I imagine she probably went to get another one, but, you know, now you see this victim of a hot dog weenie just laying on the ground, being walked around by dozens of people, dozens of hungry college kids. It was a sad day for that hot dog, but it was a good day for me, because I saw it happen. Anyway, thank you for making it through this train wreck of an episode. I hope to see you around. I mean, I'm kidding. I don't hope to see you around. Because there's no watching involved here. But you know that. You're not dumb. Anyway, good night, fellow humans. Drink lots of water. Make sure your shoes are tied. It's illegal to walk around with untied shoes. It's also illegal to marry your adopted human, no matter the age. So don't even try it. And always tip the pizza delivery guy. Goodbye. And just remember,
I'm always watching.